and the Lord put on my heart a word. People are suffering. Man, people are suffering. Now, suffering comes in different formats. Mental fatigue, and it comes in a fatigue of disappointment, all result to mind bargaining, because even though you suffer physically, it does have an effect on your mind. And if you suffer financially, it has an effect on your mind. If you suffer in a relationship, it has an effect on your mind. And so everything causes you to, not everything causes you, but there are things that causes you to have to be suffering from this. And so, but here's the problem, and you've heard this question asked many of times. People have asked the question, why do good people suffer? You have heard that? I mean, it is, suffering is one of the greatest mysteries of all time. It is a mystery. God's people who do great things for the kingdom are confronted with suffering or trouble every day. Every day. I think that I sent you something that says you can handle many challenges in one day, but you can only handle one day at a time. A lot of our suffering comes because we try to go move ahead. We try to live ahead. You can't live ahead. You can only live in the moment. And so that's one of the things. The Lord told us that there's going to be suffering in this world. So I want to talk to you today just briefly about the mystery of suffering. Suffering is a mystery. Look at someone and say, suffering is a mystery. That means it's something that's unknown. You don't know why things happen the way they happen. And so if you look at John 16:33, things are happening. It does not negate the word of God and his promises. No matter what you're going through, does not mean that it eliminates what God has promised you. God has promised good to you. God said, I knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. And we were talking about that the other day to some ministers. I was saying, think about what God said. I knew you were before you were conceived, which means you had to be somewhere. Amen. Before you were conceived. You were conceived, but that's not your beginning. That's your beginning here on earth. But you had to be somewhere, because if he knew you, that means that you had to be somewhere. And so therefore, because you don't remember where you were, doesn't mean you were not there. You might say, well, no, Pastor, well, think about this. Do you remember when you were in your mother's womb?
I certainly don't.
But you surely came out of there.
Yes.
Yeah. So think, because you don't remember doesn't mean it didn't happen. You are evident that what? It happened. And the word of God says it happened, because he said, I knew you. So you don't remember the first day of your life, but you had to have one.
That's right.
By the mere fact, you have 100 days now. I'm just using that. You're 100 days young. Right, okay. But understand in all of this that God understands this. Nothing. And look at John 16:33. We have to let us understand it. God understand, but that's not who we need to talk about understanding. We need to know how we understand. Amen? We know God understands. Let's look at John 16 and verse 33. John 16, verse 33 says this. Jesus, okay, said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's saying, what he's saying is simply, you're going to have what? Some trials. you're going to have some tribulations. You're going to have some ups and you're going to have some down. You're going to have some days that appear to be good. You're going to have some disappointments in people. But he said, be of what? Good cheer. Because I have already taken care of that situation. He said, in me, you might have peace. See, so even in the midst of trouble, you shall still be having what? Peace. Let me encourage you for a moment. And having faith and walking and living by faith does not make you immune to tribulation, trouble, or other sufferings. Because you have faith, because you live by faith, does not make you immune to tribulation or other suffering. Okay? Too often when people hear salvation and faith and prosperity and healing preach, they think it comes without opposition. In reality, it has testing or an approving process. What I mean is this. Things going to have to be what? Tested. Yeah, you don't hear me. How do you know you have faith unless your faith is what? Tested. You can say you have faith, but you really don't know. You know you have the measure of faith. But how do you know whether you have what? Strong faith. Or whether your faith is weak unless your faith has been tested. Now, here's what you have to understand. God does not test your faith. Your faith is tested by the circumstances of the world we live in. You got to understand, there's another spirit in this world that operates. He's going to test your faith. See, because that's the only thing that he can take. If he can take the word from you, he takes your faith. And that's why the Bible tells us we got to fight the good fight of faith. And he was very careful in saying the fight is good. Because he know we what? We win. And that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus, I've already what? Given you the victory. I've given it to you. He said, be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. We're all going to talk about you. We're all going to hate you. Even people make friends that you thought were friends leave you. They hurt you. They disappoint you. Children, family, people you're close to disappoint you. Don't write it off as something that God is what has left you. Just take it as a matter of what? The process, the growing process that you have to go through. It is a mystery. Why am I going through this? Maybe God won't answer the question, but you can always remember this. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you should not fear any evil because you know he is with you. Amen. And that's the problem that we have is sometimes we get to the point where we asking the question, why me? Have you ever been there? When you say, why me? Well, a lot of us have. I know you may think you haven't, but you know you have. You've asked the question, why me? Why am I going through this? Well, a question is, the word of God is true. Jesus prophesied. That's a prophecy there. Let's read it again. That's a prophecy. The prophecy is this. These things have I spoken unto you. What things? He said this. Do you not believe? Now believe. Verse 32. Behold, the hour come. Yea, is now come. That you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Take that for a moment. Isn't that beautiful? Look what Jesus said. Even though I am alone, but I'm not alone. That's where we are. It may appear that somebody may leave you and leave you alone, leave you without something, leave you by yourself. But you are not alone. Say, I'm not alone. See, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Listen to this for a moment. As I look at the trouble and trials and tribulation. Let's go back to John 15 for a moment. I want to show you something. Well, 16, we'll stay at 16. Jesus said this in verse 16. Now, before 16 hit in 1, he was talking about what the believers are going to go through. But he said to you in 15 about the vine and the branches. He said he is the true vine. And the Father is the vine dresser. He is the one who takes care of the vine. And the vine, you are the branch. Now, here's something I want you to understand. Even when he's speaking here and using this metaphor as the branch, the vine and the branch connection with the Father, he even said in 15, he said this, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Verse 2, and every branch that beareth fruit, look at this, he purged it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now watch this, even though the branch that's broken away from him, it bears no fruit. But the branch that stays, it what? Bears more fruit. But he can't bear more fruit unless it is pruned or purged. That means no matter what, new growth requires some pain. New growth, say new growth. Requires some pain. Whether you are, if new growth, no growth, you're going to get some pain. Because if you want fruit, if the branch stay connected, he got to what? He has to what? Purge it. And then he said, you're going to have to what? Prune it, that it bring forth more fruit. And I'm not a tree. But just by me pruning branches, you know what I'm talking about. I know that those shears are sharp, and it has to hurt. But it's for the what? The good, to bring forth more fruit. Now, no matter what we go through, it is this, that we do have this moment where we understand. Try not to understand, or let me put it this way, don't try to reason out suffering. Don't try to reason out suffering. Listen, let me give you something here, if you will. And I want you to look at this. Go to Philippians 1. I said to you that prosperity, healing, preaching. They think it comes without opposition, but in reality, it has tested or an approving process. Look at Philippians 1. An approving process. All right. Paul states in Philippians 1, I'm going to look at verse. I'm going to read verse 8. All right. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you, all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Verse 9. And this I pray. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Look at verse 10. I pray that you may approve, meaning test, discern, examine, recognize as genuine things that are excellent. You see that? That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You see that? Then Paul said this, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But he said this, look at verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the what? Furtherings of the gospel. See, even though the things that have happened to me, I may could have taken them what? Personally. But it's all for the what? The good or the promotion of the gospel. So whatever I come through, now you say, well, God gonna get some glory out of everything. See, that, he didn't say all things work good, but he said, well, all things work for the good. God will make it turn out for your good. Amen. You need to say glory to that, because God will make it turn out to good. Even though you are suffering, trust God that he will what? Make it turn out for good. What does that tell you? No, but that tells me this. That tells me there are no accidents with God. Instead of his ministry being curtailed by the suffering of bondage in which he was going through, his ministry was being advanced.
Yes, it was. Amen.
You don't hear what I'm saying. Yes. See, his ministry was being advanced. No matter what he's going through, he's saying, what I'm dealing with right now is for the betterment of the gospel. The gospel is going to come through this.
Yes.
And that's what you're going through. It is about what you go through. It's about growing as you go through. You didn't hear what I say. See, it's about going through, but it's about the growth process as you go through. So, yes, you're going through some change. Yes, things may be tough. Yes, things may be. But listen, yesterday was yesterday.
That's right.
And today is a new day. You need to say glory. Even yesterday, you may have thought you were not going to make it through. You just didn't see no way. But praise be to God, you're here today. So whatever troubled you yesterday is still yesterday. So, you know, you have to really appreciate the fact that God has never left me. Say, God has never left me.
God has never left me.
Get this. Let me show you how this ministry, so Paul says this here, continue on. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord wax in confidence by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul was simply saying there, even though I am in bondage, the guards in the prison are getting saved. You don't hear what I'm saying? Because they see me in bondage, but I have an opportunity to be a living testimony of Jesus Christ. Even though I'm in bondage, they who are keeping me are being transformed. So wherever I go, no matter where you go, you change the circumstances. You may not change yours at that moment, but you don't know who circumstances are changing by your testimony. You need to say praise be to God. So Paul said, yes, I'm in bondage, but something is going on here in the palace. People are still being saved. In spite of my bondage. So in spite of my suffering, in spite of what I'm going through, people are still being saved because the gospel is coming through. And so, you know, as we go through something, you got to understand God is not by accident. God didn't wake up and say, accident happened to us because we didn't know it was going to happen. But God didn't. It didn't happen to God. God knew it was going to happen. God knew today exactly who was going to be here and what you were doing. And when you get to understand that, you don't start acting as though, man, God, why you do this to me? God said, I got this.
Amen.
So even pruning and producing fruit could be painful, but you know you can endure the pain through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let me show you how something happens here. Let me show you another thing I want to show you before I go through this, and I'm almost finished. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Show you what Paul was saying here again. Very interesting. 2 Corinthians, if you will. And this is shed light on everything that we deal with, I believe, to me anyway. Look at verse 4, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, notice, if you will, maybe if we understand who, and we talked about who we really are and our humanity and our divinity, but this will help you, because then you understand, even though this physical body may be suffering or having some trial, the inner you is moving forward. Look at verse, look at this. Are you there? Look at verse, I'm going to read. Look at verse 15, and I'm going to point out 16. Are you there? It says, "For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Are you there? "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Look at that for a moment. There are two things, there are two people in this one person here. Because he said, though my what? Outward man what? Perishes. But my is day by day. There are two people going in the opposite, in the very opposite direction. The physical you is perishing. But your spiritual you is being what? Renewed day by day. You are growing up in the Spirit of God. So there are two people and two things happening. One is dying and one is living. So Paul says, even though my physical body may be suffering, even though I might be going through something in the trials, even though you might be going through something, even though you might have some what physical what challenges, but your spiritual person is but being renewed day by day. Yeah, I have some challenges going here and some challenges going there, but you got the assurance that the real you, now you need to say glory. The real you is being renewed day by, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your suffering may be, the real you is being renewed day by day. That's enough to shout and say glory be to God. Amen. Because if you know this, then you say, hey, yeah, I'm experiencing some changes. But you know what? God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This helps you through. Because if you look back over your life, there's some things you thought you'd never get through. But praise be to God, here you are, another day, another year, another month, another decade, and praise be to God. All you can do is say thank you. Just like, for example, I looked at Joseph. Joseph. Joseph, remember what I said. There are no accidents with God. There may be accidents with us, but there are no accidents with God. I had the experience yesterday. I was driving, and I didn't show you, boy, the mind is, you know, flesh got it'll get you, you know, make you act a fool. But you shouldn't deal with fools, even if it's your flesh. When you think about it, see, when there are no accidents with God, if you ever had a car accident, you say, oh man, you know, well, don't fret, because God knew it was going to happen. He knew an accident. You didn't know. Perhaps maybe you would have known had you asked him, but maybe you didn't ask him. Then I don't know. But I'm just saying, maybe he was trying to tell, because there are things that God helped you through that you may not never know. There's dangers that you have avoided that you don't even know. I had a flat tire. I went to the barbershop, came out, and the tire was flat. Now when I went in there, it was all right. It is hot.
It's hot. Ooh, no, sir. No.
It's scorching out there. And look at it, and said, the doggone tire flat. I'm mad with the tire. And then, you know, I said some words, and, you know, I had to repent.
I know
that's right. But I calmed down. I said, okay, here it is. You know, go inside, call and get you some help, roadside service, you know, insurance or something to get your car. So he called roadside service, and I thought, wait a minute, I'm going back in this air condition. I'm going to sit myself down. It's a flat tire, okay? And as a result, you know, how do I know what danger I'm avoiding? That even though the flat tire is flat. So I go back inside, don't have any problems. Come back, the man come, fix the tire, got in it, and gone home. But I was about to get upset. Flat tire? I mean, I was saying under my breath, it's hot too. As if I'm not gonna change it. I'm not gonna change it anyway. But why get upset? You follow me? Yeah. I don't have to stand in this hot sun. I can go back inside the air condition, sit down, make a phone call, let them come. When they come, I go out, change the tire, get in, move on. But immediately you get upset. But you got to understand that they didn't catch God by surprise. So here's, and when Joseph, when I look at Joseph, if you follow the story of Joseph being loved by his father, favored by his father, but in the same family, he was hated by his brothers. And then his brothers had such hate for him and contempt for him and jealousy of him, they cast him into a pit. And then he was pulled out of a pit and sold into slavery in Egypt. Here's a man who's sold into slavery, and then when he goes into slavery, he helps because of the anointing that's on his life. Even though he is considered what? To him, he is what? Suffering. But when he's sold into slavery, his master turns his house over to him. And then he's such a good person. He doesn't want to do anything other. The master said, listen, I see everything is on you. Something. See the spirit in him. See, God is with you. Okay? And that's where God is with us. That's why I say wherever you go, you change the atmosphere. Because even if God is not with them, he is with you. And so he's in his master house. His master house prosper. And then he's accused of rape. Falsely accused. Tell me that's not suffering. when you know you haven't done what they're accusing you of, and they cast you into prison at no fault of yours, but because of God is with you, you change the atmosphere in the prison. Then, of course, you know about the dream, the interpretation of the dreams. And then you find that he interprets the dream for Pharaoh. And here's a man who was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, went into a prison, and was exalted as a ruler over Egypt. If he could have plotted that event, he would never have taken the course that he had taken. But it didn't catch God by surprise. Here we are talking about him right now. He's a word of what? Encouragement to us. David is another one. Moses is another one. Paul is another one. Prophet, the man of God, told David, I have anointed you king. David, before David took the throne, David went through some stuff. I mean, the man, I know David wanted to go back and ask, are you sure that you, I'm going to be what, king? If this is kingship, I don't want to have nothing to do with this because I can do better out there, what, with the sheep. I mean, seriously. So from the point of telling him he's going to be, he's been anointed king until the time that he takes the throne of the kingdom, he had to go through something. And he went through some serious suffering. But no accident is of God. So the mystery of suffering still lingers. But thanks be to God, God gave me something here to tell you. And this is some things that he said. Suffering is a great mystery. But our Lord God told us how to handle these challenges of suffering. He said, don't worry about them. You remember the word says, don't worry about anything, through everything to prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That leads me to the next one. He said, pray about them and give thanks. Whatever you're going through, trust God to handle every situation. Have the faith knowing that God is with you regardless of what you're going through. Know that God will lead you through every situation and he will use it to your good. Also, keep acknowledging God in all your ways and he will direct you. Also, submit yourselves unto the Lord. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Know that your suffering is not of God, but he uses it knowing it was going to happen. God is not an accident. Also, know that the greater one lives in you. Fight only the good fight of faith. Don't fight any other. Knowing this fight, you are the winner through the birth, blood, death, and resurrection through Jesus Christ. And number 11 says, remind yourself when you get in the situation and you feel you're suffering, ask your soul, why are you cast down? Oh, my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Talk to your soul and tell your soul, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So talk to your soul in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.